When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forged in the fires of undersoil heating. Stronger than the steel of a stadium roof. Their name is uttered in anguish and ecstasy.
It's all about the football gods. All they can do is hope they're smiling on them.
Never seen, never heard, but with ultimate power. These are the football.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Football Gods with me, Kate Mason.
And me, Tim Spears. And today's guest is a man called Peter Dale. Who on earth is that? I hear you cry. Well, you probably know him better as Tubes, the man who rose to fame on Soccer AM for many, many years with his hilarious interviews and raps and whatnot and all sorts of other stuff. He's now branched out into golf and has an extremely successful YouTube channel called Tubes and Ange Golf Life. But he absolutely still loves and adores his football, as we heard all about today, didn't we, Kate Mason?
Yeah, we did. We had a lot of fun with Tubes actually as well. But it was quite quite profound in places too, like some of the things that he said about how the game has meant such a lot to him. And Stamford Bridge is like a part of his family, as you'll hear, one of the first things we talked about in a quite special way.
Yeah, Tubes is so open about things that have happened to him in his life, and obviously, you know, his battle with alcoholism, which he speaks so eloquently about, including on this podcast. And yeah, he's a huge, probably the biggest Chelsea fan I've ever spoken to. I think he's like he is blue all the way through. And yeah, obviously, he's had some amazing moments supporting Chelsea in the past few years, and also with his celebrity status, getting yes. to know a lot of the players and former managers and whatnot. So there's some nice anecdotes in there, and lots of Chelsea stories, good and bad. But yeah, he's a proper football fan. You know, he's no messing around here, Kate.
Here is Tubes, football god.
Before we sort of get into the key questions, Tubes, can you sort of set your football scene for us in terms of like what are your sort of earliest memories? Who did you support as a kid? You know, I guess with pre-Tubes days, even here, how did you first get into football?
So my dad was a massive, massive Chelsea fan, like humongous. My mum and dad were the first people in the world to have their wedding reception on Stamford Bridge.
Oh my God.
Stop.
Yeah, it made the papers and stuff like
wow.
that. And my dad's ashes are actually underneath the ground now.
Oh my goodness.
John Terry sorted that out for us. So it's Peter Osgood and my dad's ashes underneath the ground. So
wow.
As soon as I was born, my first picture was with Stamford the Lion, the mascot. My dad made sure as soon as I came out, boom, there you go, you're Chelsea.
So you had no choice whatsoever.
No, that's it. I was literally about 13 seconds old and that was it. Bang. We're massive Chelsea fans.
So for our younger listeners, this is before Chelsea were good.
Yes.
When was your first game?
Do you know what? I think it was Chelsea-Watford. And I think my dad, because he used to love Chelsea so much, he took me, and I think I was about 3 years old. And apparently I was a proper nuisance. So he just went, he took me and apparently I was crying, being a pain, and he was gutted. He had to take me home. So, that was my first game. But now we've had season tickets since we were like, I don't know, 7 or 8. And I've still got a season ticket now. So
you've got some pretty amazing Chelsea heritage in that case. Does it just feels like not only just your football home, but your home from the sound of things.
Oh, absolutely. Do you know what I mean? Every time I go, you know, to look over and know where dad is, you know, underneath the ground, it's pretty amazing. And I stay behind quite a lot, and just to sort of, you know, we won dad sort of thing. So yeah, it's like our whole family have been brought up on Chelsea and stuff like that. So it, you know, it's like a family really.
That's amazing. It must just take everything to a totally different level. For bad games or for special nights, it's just got an entire another level of meaning for you. That must be that's pretty special.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know, with my job at like Sky and stuff, now doing what we do at Golf Life, it was like to have like people coming on like Gianfranco Zola, who's like my all time hero. So when I was walking down the fairway with Gianfranco Zola, I was just like, I just want to cuddle you. and obviously Frank Lampard, and it's incredible. And when I had my heart problems, they were all on the phone, and I was like, I can't believe this happening. Like Gianfranco Zola texted me going, I hope you're okay. I was like, wow, this is, dad would be like buzzing. Do you know what I mean?
Well, our first proper question to you as a football god, I've got a feeling where we might be going here, some kind of blue area. But yeah, is there a glory team of your life, kind of like a specific era or a specific season, like your team of the gods, basically?
I've been quite spoiled being a Chelsea fan, Tim. I loved the first team under Mourinho, JT at the back, Lamps in the middle, Drogba up front, Essien, Ashley Cole, Petr Cech. Probably, I can't remember what year that is, but let's just say the Mourinho years, the early Mourinho years, the first time around.
Because that's like, would be like 04, 05, that kind
of year? 05, yeah, I'd be so, yeah.
The one that didn't concede like any goals, basically.
Yeah, that one. It was just like, but we played good football as well. It wasn't like, you know, just shut up shop. It was just, it was amazing to see. And, you know, especially for Mourinho to come in and go, I'm the special one. To have the bollocks to say that and then literally do what he did was amazing. And it was like, that's when you knew like that this is, Chelsea are going to be a force for a good couple of years now. So it's a bit different at the moment. So let's not talk about current affairs. I'd say that team.
So what did it feel like as a fan? Because Chelsea were one of the biggest stories in the world at that time. And obviously they'd just become pretty big, started getting qualifying in the Champions League, obviously the semis under Ranieri. But to go from the spending splurge and to literally, like I said, yeah, become one of the biggest clubs in the world and biggest stories in the world, what was it like as like a true blue to see your team sort of, everyone in the world now giving an opinion on Chelsea, and you know, obviously some of it was negative.
It was a bit strange because you just saw like players after players, like Veron would just roll up. You'd be like, yeah. you feel like a bit like you're cheating on Championship Manager. It was a bit like, what's going on? But the quality of football that it allowed us fans to watch was, you know, not every single player that we bought for big money works. Quite a few didn't. But it was just a strange time, wasn't it? Like, you know, a billionaire coming in, just going, yeah, picking, like, buy in. But yeah, it was very, very strange. But I'm not gonna say I was complaining, because I wasn't. I was like, hang on, we're gonna start winning stuff here, and we're gonna watch, you know, Stamford Bridge every other week. We're gonna watch some top quality football. So it was strange, but it was amazing.
And how much do you remember of that season in terms of realizing like that this was real? You know, it's the first league title in 50 years, I want to say.
Yeah, I think so.
And so that's not a, you know, within living memory to you, right? You're just like, that's generational memory, right? That's been a while.
It was absolutely amazing. And the way we did it in such style as well. And I remember the game where Joe Cole twisted up Rio Ferdinand. It was just like, it's like, wow, we're just literally dominating the English game. And it was incredible. The atmosphere changed. But then with the money and all that, I think it lost some of Chelsea's real fans. Like when I was a young boy, it was like proper fans. Do you know what I mean? Like proper songs and stuff. And then it got a bit like, the atmosphere died down a bit. I've got to be honest about that, because with the money, and then they started charging more. So that upset me a bit. But again, you know, we weren't used to watching Chelsea win trophies and being in the Champions League and, you know, going far and stuff like that. So it was incredible, but I think it lost a bit of its atmosphere, if I'm honest.
So you've got friends who stopped going or just couldn't afford to go, or what sort of thing happened?
Not really, but you could just tell, Kate, do you know what I mean? In the stadium, like, you'd get the sort of like people chucking celery around and, you know, and just like one man went to Mo. It was still good. Obviously, the atmosphere was amazing when we were winning, but I think we got spoilt a bit. We just got used to winning quite a lot. And then it was like, oh, we don't need to sing. Whereas back in the day, we weren't winning a lot. So everyone was sort of singing. I'm not saying it like massively changed the atmosphere, but you could see a bit of a change in the clientele.
I guess it's one of those. And we saw it replicated, you know, a decade later with Man City. That, yeah, I guess you are going to lose a bit. However, if you're going to win the Champions League, that's the only way to do it these days, right? Is to, so I guess you didn't have any qualms at the time because that's the only way that Chelsea are ever going to sort of win a league or Champions League again, I guess.
And plus, everyone's followed suit.
Yeah, exactly.
So everyone was going, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. Right, where's a billionaire? Let's sign him up. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, it was a strange time and it was weird that it was like another player coming, another player coming, another player. You're just like, wow, this is, he means business, this fella. So, yeah, he did. I think God knows how much he spent on that football club.
Who was the one signing when you were really like, wow, I can't believe this?
Do you know what? I think it was in that time, but Ashley Cole.
Oh, yeah, because he, I mean, he was so Arsenal, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was so Arsenal. And I was like, I truly believe Ashley Cole was the best left back ever to play football. Obviously, you could argue about Roberto Carlos, but Ashley Cole, I was like, that's a big statement. Do you know what I mean? He's just left Arsenal. Obviously, he said these things that he said, but I was like, he's a proper player. And obviously, Drogba, we were like, we didn't know much about him. And the first, to be honest, the first year of Didier Drogba, everyone was like, what have we signed here? You know, so he was diving on the floor and stuff like that and making a meal of things. And then all of a sudden, we got the Didier Drogba that we saw for years to come, like, powerful. And also, such a lovely man as well. I remember walking into an interview with Didier Drogba, and I had no idea. He'd no way know who I am. And he started quoting all my raps and stuff that I'd done praying and going, taxi me. And I was like, oh my God. And it was so mad. I was like, this is Didier Drogba. I was like, oh my God. Then we started doing all that together, you know, his little celebration. And I was like, what a cool guy. And also, he does a lot for his country. He's given millions and millions back. So I've got a lot of respect for him for that as well.
That's so cool to just realise you're part of the football culture of these people that you care so much about. You mentioned Mourinho already. Can you try and take us back to, because this was really like glory, Mourinho, the wit, he had all of the like, the shop talking, he was just so fresh coming in. Can you try and take us back to what that felt like having him as a manager?
Oh, he's a cool dude when he came. He was like proper cool. He like suave, good looking, lovely hair. And I was like, oh, this guy knows his stuff. But it was amazing. Like you hear the stories about, you know, what he'd do in training and he'd proper like, apparently some of the boys like I used to speak to are like, God, he's brutal. He proper like gets stuck into us and like his standards were just completely up on like, a different level to what they were expected. And it was like, wow. He was like, you make one little mistake in training and he'd be on you. He set that bar of like, you know, if you want to play for this club, we've got the capabilities of spending more millions. So you've got to earn your right. I think John Terry tells a good story about him and Gary Cahill. And Mourinho just went, basically, F off, like, this is not good enough. I think it was those two. But it was him coming in as manager was, again, another massive statement going, yeah, we mean business, we've got him on board. And, you know, he talked the talk, but, you know, he delivered.
Yeah, that must have been an amazing moment to be a part of. And he did, as you're saying, you know, you can only back it up with what he has then done. And you got to be a part of that. That must have been an incredible season, an incredible time to be a fan.
Do you know what? It was quite sad that they went a bit sour when he came back as well.
Like, yeah.
I always say, like, it's tough when a manager goes back or, do you know what I mean? It was like, I remember doing an interview with him. It was quite upsetting, really, because he knew I was a Chelsea fan. And he sort of listed all his old clubs, but he didn't mention Chelsea. And it was like he'd sort of like that. And that was really sad because what he gave to us, I'd say he's probably my favourite ever Chelsea manager. It's a shame. I hope we can all make friends soon.
If you're listening, Jose, yeah, reach out.
Let's help on this podcast. Let's be.
We've got a lot to say to you. Yeah. Okay, so Tubes, you're on the Football Gods because you've been appointed to be a god for the course of this podcast. You're going to rule over football and you get a whole load of things that you can do to the game. Day one, you've become the god of football. What is the first thing that you would like to do?
I'd probably ban half and half scarves.
Yes, here we go.
Because that is the biggest load of shit I've ever seen in football. What are they? Like, what's the point? Like, if you're a Chelsea fan and you're playing Man United, why do you want half of Man United on your scarf? So I would eradicate half and half scarves. And the way it's going, I'd probably get rid of VAR as well.
fine. Good to have that just in the back pocket.
Check that in.
Can I have two?
You can do what you want, mate. You are God.
I suppose I'm God. I can do
it. You are God, but I think it's good that you put the most important one first. Absolutely. Because those fucking scarves.
Who's always come up with that idea?
I guess there's always going to be stuff to sell, isn't there?
Ugh. Do you know anyone who supports two teams?
Well, now... There are modern fans, as we understand it, especially in places not England, who might switch. Because when I worked out in Doha, out in Qatar, there were people who would be one day supporting Real Madrid and one day supporting Barcelona.
That would go as well.
Yep.
You can't support two teams. You can't change teams. You can't be seen wearing a half and half scarf.
Fine.
And also the blue card they're talking about.
Not into it.
What is this game coming to? You wait 20 minutes to get a decision from VAR, and now they want to bring new cards in. So it's my job of God. I've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
I went to Bournemouth v Leicester last year, bear with me. And I thought I was walking up to what I thought was a half and half scarf being sold outside the ground, but it was a half and half, like, player scarf. They had, I think it was like Solanke and Vardy. Right, in the mode of a half. Never seen anything like it in my life. For bloody Bournemouth v Leicester, I couldn't believe what I was seeing, to be honest. Who would buy that?
I don't understand it. So what you're saying...
It was just a half and half scarf, but instead of the names, yeah, it was the two players.
Did it say, like, Valanke?
But honestly, it's such a shambles. I went to my first ever Manchester derby last year, and I was so excited to go, and I thought this is going to be an amazing game. It was the 6-3 to City, and the amount of half and half scarves I saw was the most I've ever seen in my life, actually. Like, dozens.
At a derby like that?
At a derby like that, all just tourists just there for the day. I was in the nice seats, to be fair, but they were everywhere.
They should have called it off. They should have got to the stadium and just been like...
I did try, Kate.
I also think that people selling them should be arrested.
Yeah. Yeah, let's punish these people.
Yeah, I mean...
They're the problem.
They are the problem. They're the pushers.
Yeah.
It's disgraceful.
If you're listening to this, we won't out you. But if you do, just be honest. We'll be nice. We won't out you. We promise. We won't tell Tubes. But if you've ever bought a half and half scarf, please can you email it?
Yeah. Email our email address. It's definitely, we've definitely got one. No problem.
Yeah, with a JPEG with you with the half and half scarf.
Because I want to know. I want some sort of explainer. There might be a reason that we haven't thought of. That's what I always think. There might be a reason. There might be some good reason that we haven't yet thought of.
You're really showing your credentials as a proper football fan, Tubes. Not that you needed to, but we've done a few episodes of this podcast now, and it's the first time half and half scars have come up, and it's about time, to be honest, because I completely agree.
It's got to go. I've seen you had Emil Heskey on there speaking about his career. You've got me on just battering half and half scars. That's what I bring to the table. Come on, the football gods.
Right, we're on to question three now. Football perfection, Tubes. Who springs to mind? Who is football perfection for you?
Gianfranco Zola.
Mm.
I'm actually quite good at kick-ups. When I was 14 or 15, I think I did 1,000 in one go at a family barbecue. And that's all down to little magician Gianfranco Zola, because I used to get there before and watch him. And he used to do this amazing thing. He used to get the ball and he used to punt it as high as he could. And just on the fall, catch it, kick up, bang, straight up in the air, catch it on the fall. So every time I used to go and watch the game, I'd go back into the garden and do it. And Gianfranco Zola is the reason my first touch is after him. So I love him. His hair, he smells great. He hates half and half scarves. he's football perfection for me.
How would he fit into today's game? Where would he play? Would he still be a Premier League star in today's era?
Oh, without doubt. Honestly, he was like streets ahead of anyone. Like, he was so powerful. He was so small. He was a bit like Eden Hazard. Obviously, nowhere near as quick as Eden Hazard. But he was, you know, that low centre of gravity. Like, and he used to be stronger than you think as well. Like, he's bashing people off. His free kick, his technique was just like, I actually saw a clip of him the other week. He was taking a free kick. I don't know how old he is now. He must be in his 60s, I'd imagine, 50s, 60s.
It's like late 50s.
Yeah, he's still got the technique. He was just... Do you remember that clip when he did Carragher on the touchline?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what that little man could do to people. Absolutely whip people up. So he was just amazing. And I think he's my favourite ever player.
And he loved Chelsea, didn't he?
Yeah.
You could tell how much he bought into it. And he stayed for quite a few years as well. He absolutely adored that club.
And then obviously he went back as Sarri's number two, didn't he? Which was obviously not a great time because Sarri's a bit of a weirdo. But no, Zola was, he's proper Chelsea. Loved Chelsea. Every time he comes back now, you see him at Stamford Bridge because he goes to and from Italy. So all those old school players, like does Chelsea do that well? You know, they sort of like always welcome back the old players and look after them. They come round at half time on the pitch, do their lap. So that's nice to see.
And you said you made a bit of a relationship with him. Is that right with Zola?
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm trying to remember how it happened. I think he heard when I had my heart attack a good few years back. I think he got a number off one of the other like people at Chelsea. I'm not sure. And he texted me, and I was like, "Oh my god, it's amazing!" So then we started talking, and then he came on Soccer AM. I said to Fenner, "I've just shot Gianfranco Zola." Fenner's nearly fainted. He's like, "You've done what?" I was like, "Yeah, he's coming on in 3 weeks' time." And then he came on the golf channel that me and my brother do now. He's just such a nice man. Even when he did the golf with us, you know, he sent a voice note the next day, just going, "Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was so good. My son would love to meet you. He'd love meeting you guys." And I was like, "This is crazy." He's like just the nicest man. And he was still like the best player when he was manager. Because at West Ham, they say he was still ridiculously good. So, no, he's just a lovely human.
Okay, so Zola was easy, Tubes, but you now have to, you've got a player that you're going to be damning to hell. So this can be somebody who has hurt Chelsea Football Club, has made, you know, you not enjoy a particular moment in your football supporting career.
Or just a proper moron. It could be anyone.
How about the Man United team that beat Chelsea in the Champions League final and the penalty spot? Can the penalty spot go? The one that John Terry sits on?
I think so.
Yeah, because that was, when I went out to Russia, that was the worst. It was the nicest, worst experience I've ever had. I don't wish any bad stuff on anyone, but that Man United team, because that broke my heart. And then we had to literally got locked on a bus for like 3 hours afterwards, pissing down with rain. We just missed that penalty and people were literally scrambling to get on aeroplanes. People were going to Luton, like some of my mates ended up in Heathrow. We were trying to get to Gatwick. The whole evening was hell. So the penalty spot can go to hell if that's all right.
Done.
So this was 2008.
Yeah.
In Moscow.
Yeah.
They finished 1-1, didn't it? And then obviously went to penalties.
Penalties, yeah.
I can't imagine anything more stressful than watching the team that I love in a penalty shootout in a Champions League final. That's the stakes are as high as it gets.
Honestly, mate, it was horrendous. Sometimes I get flashbacks on it now. Leaving the ground, you could hear all the United fans singing, and it was like literally it was pissing down. I actually thought I was in hell. It was really, really difficult time in my life.
Yeah, I feel like it is always raining when these things happen.
Oh, yes, it is. My worst memory is West Brom beating Wolves in the playoff semi-final, and I had to stand in the rain for an hour to get a train afterwards. The police wouldn't let us in the station. It was pissing it down. It was always raining.
You make a brilliant point there, because when Chelsea, we got battered back in the day in an FA Cup final, I think it was by United again, like 4-0, I think it was. My uncle had like sorted out two limos to take us up there, and we were like, "Oh, amazing." Like, this first time Chelsea had been to Wembley for ages. We lost, we got battered, literally had our pants pulled down, and it was raining.
Well, I guess that's something you could change if you were God.
But like, mind you, what weather would you want if you just lost an FA Cup final? Would you want it really hot and sunny?
That's a good point.
It's a great question, because then you're going to walk past loads of people celebrating the opposition team,
yeah,
in beer gardens. At least when it's raining, you don't see many people because they're running really quick to get home.
Maybe it's the right answer.
Maybe it is. Maybe rain's good for a
like
defeat.
A real downpour and thunderstorms would put a dampener on their day, the winning team.
Hang on, now we're getting this. I like this podcast because we are talking like the real important subjects. Half and half smarts and weather after cup final defeats. I think it's the right answer. I think if you lost, you just want to be sad and get wet.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm sort of all for it now after thinking it was horrendous.
Well, you've just mentioned a horrific moment, but we're going to ask you for another now. A footballing moment that you'd wipe from history, Tubes.
Oh, can it be the same? that evening? There's been a few games at Chelsea that I'd like to eradicate from my memory. Quite a few this season, if I'm honest with you. It's been quite a few games. It has to be that night. I'm sorry to replicate the same answer, but that night in Moscow, it was that bad, the whole situation, the slip, that everything about it would just have to go for me. I'm literally scarred by it.
I feel like we're going to have to lift the mood in a minute because this is, you know.
But yeah, probably in hell, it has to be that.
All right, so you've sent the penalty spot to hell as well, so you've really fully destroyed that whole moment. It's gone. Your whole trajectory as a like Chelsea fan will probably be completely changed, because presumably if they're in hell, you get to win, jobs are good in.
no one's wearing half and half scarves.
Yes. The last question about getting rid of stuff from football is, now you just get to banish one thing from football. So you've obviously got rid of half and half scarves already. There needs to be something you're going to just get rid of from football. See you later. Job done. Football would be better.
People filming the match whilst they're at the match. Yep.
Good.
Yes. Hell yes.
I mean, why are you at the match if you're trying to get that moment for social media? It really upsets me. That's what I mean about Chelsea, because back in the day, you'd never see that. I know there wasn't obviously slow social media, but no one's going to be taking pictures of, you know. But I go to Chelsea now and there's people going out the whole game. Like, I'm like, well, what are you? You're not even watching. You're watching your phone and the action's there. I just never understood that. And then you see, like, they score a penalty, they're straight on trying to cut it up. Like, da, 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 da. That has to go for me.
So would you have people hand their phones in? How are you going to enforce this? Is it all right to just take like one picture of yourself pitch?
I can sort of like play with their SIM card and their data. So I would allow them one text during the 90 minutes. I'd allow them one photo and I'd allow them one 15-second video. So you can get the teams coming out when we're playing Liquidator at Chelsea. Diddly, diddly, you can film that, it's fine. You know, do the fireworks that they bizarrely do now, the light show. I don't really understand that. But yeah, and then maybe two photos.
I might be giving myself away a bit here, but I feel like, could you have, because you might want to take multiple photos to make sure you get the right photo. So could you have like a number of photos just for one moment though? So if you want to get the perfect like photo of you with the pitch beforehand, is that allowed? Because I do like 15 and pick the best one, or do I only get two?
Well, can you put it on live so then you can sort of pitch?
Should do that.
Yeah,
right.
Put your phone on live.
Okay, so live one, like two live photos.
There you go. And then you can get home after the football match.
Look through, yeah.
Look through, pick your favourite frame, then post it, or then show your friends what you've done. But I really am not accepting sitting there taking photos, you know, that, yeah, I'm at Stamford Bridge. That's not happening. That has to go.
Yeah, and like you get it at certain grounds. Old Trafford's really bad for it, because when someone celebrates near the tunnel at Old Trafford, I've noticed everybody's on their phone taking a picture. You know, if Ronaldo, when he was there, would celebrate near the corner, the camera would pan and every single person in that shot is taking a picture of him. It's just like, enjoy the moment. You know, your hero's 10 yards in front of you. Just celebrate the goal, enjoy the moment.
It's really weird. That's going back to banishing VAR. That's another reason I'd have to ban it, because you can't celebrate anymore at football, because you don't want to look like a tit if it's offside.
Yeah.
And it will ruin people's like photos and videos as well. Imagine that. You think you've got the perfect video. Oh, Ellery, David Ellery.
David Ellery.
No. Put that in the delete file, because that ain't going anywhere. That's been ruled out.
Amazing. Right, we're on to food now, Tubes. Is there a football food of the gods for you? Something you associate maybe with watching games, or like something you might eat before a match? What's your food of the gods?
What are the hot dogs called that literally they just dig a big hole in and just put the sausage in?
Oh, have they got a special name?
I don't know. They're in like a yellow packaging. You put a load of mustard in.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
But I never really, you know what? I never used to. I mean, I don't know if people are listening to this, but I've had a massive problem with alcohol. I've been sober for 8 years, so I never, when I used to go to football, as it, you know, as like a teenager and all that, I never really ate. I just got bang on it. So there was not one. There was never really a time I went to Chelsea going, oh, I can't wait for that sausage. I was just like, get me to the bar. So now what I do like is the sausage.
It sounds good. It's good as well because you don't get it, presumably, if it's all self-contained. Is that what you mean? Then you don't really get all clever. The stuff on your...
It's really clever. It's designed fantastically. The sausage is literally down there and you put the sauce in. The sauce drips down.
Lovely.
And you win it. It's not over all over your clothes.
Yeah.
So it's a really good, smart design. And yeah, so that's what I probably have. But yeah, I used to just love going to Chelsea and getting into the pub, if I'm honest. Tell you what they used to do in this pub I used to go to, which was bizarre, but well nice, hot scotch eggs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not really a football food. It's quite upmarket. We were on the King's Road in Chelsea, but yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, hot scotch egg. Fantastic, beautiful.
So, since you're not drinking anymore, how has that affected how you go to the football?
Well, first of all, I remember games of football. I know the score the next day or the further on. But yeah, I literally reverted back to what I was like as a kid. I go and watch them warm up and see the drills they do, and I love it. I used to get there late. I used to not watch the game. I used to be soon. Maybe like half an hour into the first half, I'd be down by them. It was a mess. But I know this podcast is about being God, not talking about my addiction to alcohol. But now I've gone straight back to what I used to do as a kid. It's lovely. I go and watch the warm-up, get there, take in the atmosphere, watch people film and stuff like that. But no, it's great. I love a little watching the warm-up because you don't realise how good these people are. And the way they hit the football, it's like, it's just incredible. So I get there like 20 minutes before, half an hour before, watch the warm-up. So, no, I don't go to pubs. So, as soon as the game's over, say goodbye to dad and then back down the motorway. So, no, it's good.
Nice. Well, that is the next question, which is who is your choice to watch football with? Now, it could be someone you just think would be exciting to watch a game of football with. It could be who you do tend to watch the game with. Or someone you'd like to bring back to watch a game with? Who would you like to watch?
To bring back would obviously be my dad. It's been about 10, 12 years now. So like what I've done in those 10, 12 years, I'd love to be able to share with him and, you know, show, you know, what I've done and stuff like that. So yeah, that's a bit of a soppy answer, but that's my true answer. It would have to be my dad because he left when I was only like 30. So I'd love to come back and watch a match with my dad, obviously Chelsea, but I tell you what, they'd have to win because with my dad, he was the biggest soaker. If Chelsea lost, you know, you just wouldn't go near him. Literally a proper, proper soaker.
Have you inherited that sulkiness, Tubes? What are you like after a defeat?
I'm gutted, but I'm not nowhere near like, I'm not like my dad. My dad was a real sulk. Like mum would like, be like, don't go near him. But if we play bad, I'm obviously gutted, but we're so spoiled. We've watched Chelsea win, and you've got used to Chelsea winning. Do you know what I mean? So it's a weird thing to say. To see the rebuild of Chelsea now is quite exciting, if that makes sense. Like, even though we're not top four, we're not going to get top four. Hopefully, we might win a trophy this year. It's actually quite nice to see in a bizarre way. But I don't sulk. You can't do anything about it, can you? But that night in Russia.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
Half an hour.
16 years later, still having a sulk about that one. Right. We're on the home stretch, Tubes. Two questions to go. And we're moving on to music. What's the football song that you would love to hear? What's your big football tune?
It has to be Liquidator. Mm. Chelsea ran out to. I love that tune and I listen to it most days. And since Todd Bowley's come, they've started playing, they still play Liquidator, but they also started playing Foo Fighters. If I was God, after banning all the stuff that we've discussed, that would go. It's Liquidator and Blue Is the Colour.
So when do they play Foo Fighters? Is that like the last song they play before kickoff? Or
that's started to creep in pre-match at Chelsea now.
Presumably that's got no specific link with Chelsea.
I just think Todd likes it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
I don't think that people realise that that happens, you know, that people who run clubs have a real big impact on what's played before matches.
It's important, isn't it?
Oh my God, guys. Chelsea apparently recruited Dave Grohl's personal physio after they sacked their senior medics. This is about a year ago.
Well, there you go,
Dave
then.
Dave Grohl infiltrating Chelsea. Who thought that?
Interesting. Well, he's supposed to be very nice, isn't he? From what I hear.
Yeah, it comes across that way, but what's that got to do with Chelsea?
At least he's not in there trying to like sink the club.
He's not evil, right?
At least he's not evil.
I bet he's not as nice as Gianfranco Zola.
It's a great point. Yeah. What would he sing? That's exactly the main question.
He'd be bopping along to Liquidator, let me tell you.
Right, final question. And we're not, this is like the opposite of some of the constraints that we've imposed on football. This, you get to pick a game that from your football supporting history that you get to last forever. And this is obviously kind of a mad question because it's like, if it lasts forever, who knows what the final score will be. But mainly it's about the feeling that you had.
Can tell you straight away. Chelsea 4, Liverpool 2, FA Cup, fifth round. In, can't remember what year it was, but we were 2-0 down at half time and we were getting absolutely battered. And there's funny stories about the Liverpool players going down the tunnel at half time saying to the Chelsea players, oh, we're just going to go and have a fag and all that, just literally wind them up. Our cues came on second half and we battered them. And that's the one time I was in the Matthew Harding upper and it was moving. It was like proper rocking. And I was like, this is mad. And I actually think there was only three stands, if I remember correctly. I think
that's the image I've got, because this was on BBC. I remember watching it as a kid.
Yeah. And it was that the atmosphere was that good that there was only three stands. And I remember my mum was there as well. She came to that match and everything was like bum, 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 like. And I remember the Chelsea players apparently walked down at full time and were saying to the Liverpool players, just going to go and get me a cigar on. Do you know what I mean? Just like properly. Yeah, and all kicked off afterwards as well. But I remember that atmosphere. And I've been to a lot of Chelsea games. But that one just sticks out for me. So I'd love that feeling to carry on. Just, yeah, but it's like 2-1 down, 2-0. You're like, we've got a chance. 3-2 and it was 4-2. It was just mad. So that's the one game I'd love to last. I like random games like that. I mean, it wasn't like a final. It wasn't anything. But I just, for that feeling that I had, I was like, wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Because it's like relief initially as well, isn't it? Because you're 2-0 down and then...
It's why football is so powerful, because you can make you feel shit.
Yeah.
They could also put you right up there. And in two halves of football, it did just that.
Well, cheers. It's been a pleasure. 10 fantastic answers. Some heartful...
And I'm sorry I couldn't take you on individual to hell. So I'm really sorry.
No.
It
reflects on you very well as a person. So I think that's okay. Because you sent more than one to hell, actually. So yeah.
To the whole team.
Yeah.
The football gods.
Right, so we've got your 10 answers. We're going to convert them into your 10 commandments, Tubes, which we're just going to run back with you now. So your glory team, I think we decided it was the Mourinho team from 2004-05, the team that won the title.
Yeah, can I switch, please?
Of course you can. You can do what you want.
I'm going to switch. I do apologise. It's my error as God. I've made a, you know, bad mistake.
This is very godly behaviour, so I actually quite like this. To be frivolous and to change your mind.
Yeah. God can be, you know, a bit indecisive. That's fine.
The Zola, Di Matteo, Vialli, those days, Ruud Gullit, Glenn Hoddle.
Done.
The very fun trophy-winning Chelsea team of the mid to late 90s. Your first godly act, which we hope that every single person listening to this podcast agrees with, is to ban half and half scarves. Football imperfection for you is Gianfranco Zola. You're going to damn to hell. The penalty spots and the resulting penalty shootout and the Man United team from the 2008 Champions League final. And yeah, that's also...
Could you imagine the penalty spot just in hell? Just going...
And that's also the moment you're going to get rid of. Yeah, we talked about that at some length. You're going to wipe from history the 2008 Champions League final.
You are banishing from football people filming the match while they're at the match. And in fact, you might get like two photos. We've got it all written down. We know exactly how much you're allowed, but no more than that. Your godly football food, those hot dogs, we haven't thought the exact word for them, but we're going to find out afterwards. But the ones that you put inside the bread so it
this
all stays
awesome.
Contained. Also Scotch eggs with another honourable mention. You would watch the game with your dad, who you still miss very much, listening to Liquidator. And the game that will be lasting forever is Chelsea 4, Liverpool 2, the 96-7 FA Cup game.
Cool, your knowledge is unbelievable. You've got someone actually got doing the stats there, because that's unbelievable. 96, that's unbelievable.
Oh, Tubes, thank you so much for taking the time. That was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
The Football Gods is a VoiceWorks Sport production.
Podcast Network.